If you are visiting with us today and you're able to come back next week and weeks following, please do, so you can have the pleasure of hearing our pastor's sermons, which are awesome. Let's open our sermon with today's prayer of illumination. Let's pray. We pray, Lord, as you shine the light of your word on us, that your glory will rise upon us by the power of your Spirit. Darkness may cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but we pray, rise upon us that your glory may appear to the world. Nations will come to the light of your word, and peoples will be drawn to the brightness of your coming. Help us, Lord, to lift our eyes to you, to hear you speak, and to listen with open hearts to your gospel. Empower us to respond to your word with obedience, and help us to be your shining lights in the universe. We pray in the name of Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Well, another year has concluded, and another year is being launched. This year that just concluded was another year when Jesus has not returned to gather his bride to himself. I wonder, here in America, do we live in anticipation of Jesus' return? Do we really believe that his return is imminent? The Bible says Jesus will return when we do not expect it. In other words, we will all be caught by surprise by Jesus. How do you want to be caught by surprise by Jesus? What would you want to be doing in that instant? What would you not want to be doing? Not thinking or believing, but doing when he surprises you. However you are living for Christ right now is how you will be caught by surprise by Jesus. Will his sudden appearance for you be met with ecstasy or profound apology on your part? I'm urging all of us to examine ourselves. How are you living out your Christian life? I mean, physically, tangibly, in ways that can be seen by others. Are you content to live as a saved baby in Christ and seek nothing more? Is that how you want to be caught? Perhaps you're saved and grateful, coming to church to learn more, well-fed and comfy, sitting on your assurance of salvation, but content to be a hearer of the word only, and not a doer of the word. Is that how you want to be caught? Or are you content only in being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word, living and doing all for Jesus? So immersed in his service that his sudden appearance is an interruption to your ongoing ministry. How would that be a way to be caught by surprise? How are you living for Christ? Listen to these words from Jesus himself in Matthew 24, 40 through 41 and 46. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Don't kid yourself. However you are satisfied in living for Jesus is how he will find you so doing. This new year, let's change our satisfaction level. May we never be satisfied again at being hearers of the word only, but wholehearted doers of the word. Why? Am I saying doing so that we can be saved or to keep our salvation? No, I'm not saying that. Never. But to make known our love for Jesus to the world around us. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, I'm not taking pot shots at us seated here necessarily, but at the church as a whole, and especially in America. We believers are the church. We are called to carry on the mission of seeking and saving the lost that Jesus began on earth. When Jesus was on his 3-year mission, light came into this dark world. When the early church spread out into the world, the light spread with it. The world was turned upside down for God by Jesus and the first generation of believers. I mean, the apostles were all or nothing for Jesus. When Paul went into a city, there was either a revival or a riot. The gospel made an impact. Just a few true believers anywhere always caused some kind of reaction to the gospel message. The gospel was never hidden then. The early believers lived totally for Christ. There was no doubt as to their cause and belief. Well, let's fast forward a couple thousand years. And there aren't a few believers. There are tens of thousands of believers in America. Yet immorality is at an all-time low. Unborn babies are slaughtered. God is the object of jokes and ridicule. Where's the light? Where's the salt? Why is America in such a woeful condition? The church in America, the believers in America as a whole, are content to be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. A line taken from a Keith Green song sums up in my mind the church in America today. The world is sleeping in the dark, that the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light. Is this a true statement? Is the church in America out there spreading and living the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is the darkness being penetrated by the light of Christ? I don't see it. Not on the whole. Enough slumbering, modern Christian. Enough passivity, brothers and sisters. Enough of hearing only. We have a job to do. To do. Not a job to think about, but to do. Get out of your bed. Jump off of your couch. Rise from the pew and do for Jesus. What is the newness of our walk with Christ to be as we start this new year? To once and for all time, get over the obstacle of only being hearers of the word and to become doers of the word. To walk the walk. To put into practice the presence of God. To really, really live Jesus and make him known. To be Christ's hands and feet and spokesperson. To be a Christian as a verb with action and not as a noun in name only. Why am I challenging us to live for Christ as a verb in 2024? Because we're not doing it. If we were doing it, all the lost would have heard. The hungry would be fed. The naked would be clothed. The sick and imprisoned would be visited. Listen to our Lord himself tell us that we should live a life of action. John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Jesus commands that we work while we still can, while it is still day. He did not say read and enjoy my truths and stay passive while it is day. He said to work while it is day. Now it is day. We can still do the work of Christ. We still live and breathe and move. But the stark evidence is that the church in America is not at work for Christ. Now, while it is day, the world is lost and perishing. And you and I have been saved for the work of Christ, of seeking and saving the lost. This is the normal Christian life. The abnormal Christian life is spent in inactivity and silence, hiding under the covers or behind the bushes. I'm challenging all of us to be and remain to the end normal Christians working the works of him who has sent us. Well, I hope by now I've gotten my point across. The condition of this world today testifies to the fact that the church needs to stop being hearers only. It's high time that we believers once and for all become doers of the word and not only hearers of the word. Our Christian lives must be verbs, lived out in action, and no longer just nouns. It's no longer enough for us to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. It's now time to prove it. It's time for action. But how do we get past the roadblock of being contentedly satisfied, yet inconspicuous believers? And here is only to become recognizable imitators of Christ in word and in deed. How do we get from being cool, calm, and reserved Christians to being on fire action figures for Christ? If asked, most Christians would answer that question with read the Bible, get into the Word, and pray for a revival in our souls. And that would, of course, be a correct answer. How can we live for Jesus, follow Jesus, love Jesus, if we don't know Him, if we don't know who He is, what He is like, or how He wants us to live? So, yes, absolutely, we must read the Word. Get into the Word. Consume the Word as our spiritual food. This is absolutely crucial for the believer. Yet, someone may say, I am a believer. I am in God's Word every day. Well, that's fantastic. It's vital to keep doing this. But just have one question. How do we know? How do we know you're in the Word every day? How do we know that you're a Christian? Because you say so? Because of what you have memorized? Because you can name all the books of the Bible? Now, please don't throw stones. I'm not poking fun at reading and memorizing the Bible. We must read and memorize the Bible. This is absolutely crucial. But are we changed by being in the Word? I am seeking for all of us to daily to be more than a reader and memorizer. I'm asking each of us this question: does being in the Word daily change us on the outside as well as the inside? Does being in the Word make us recognizable at first glance by the world as being in Christ and not in this world or of this world? Does only being in the Word turn us into world changers for Christ? There are so many believers in the Word daily, but still the salt and light does not appear to be overtaking the darkness. Only reading the Word is only being a hearer. Something is missing to make us also a doer of the Word. Again, how do we get past the roadblock of only being a hearer? So I wanted to go into the Bible and have the Bible show me the key to the success of a doer in Scripture. Who was given a huge, daunting task to do for God, and how did this person succeed? Many in history had daunting tasks, physical tasks, real tangible tasks. Abraham, Moses, Joseph, the judges, David, John the Baptist. But I landed on Joshua. His was a major physical undertaking for the Lord. His task was to lead perhaps 2.5 million people across the Jordan River in flood season, conquer all the kingdoms of the land, many of whom contained giants, and settle the multitude of people into their appointed areas. This was physical, tangible, boots on the ground, dirty and tough work. Much like our own calling, Joshua's assignment was primarily a military campaign. So what were the instructions from God to Joshua to succeed in all these wars and battles that he was soon to fight? Some kind of strategy in combat never heard before? Not exactly. God's formula for success in performing the actions that God requested in Joshua 1:8, where God instructs Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." What is the key to Joshua's military success and the successful leading of this vast people under his care? And what is the key for us to get us past the obstacle of only hearing the Word of God and becoming action figures for God, just as Joshua was? The key is to meditate on the Word of God, day and night. Only then would prosperity in the Lord and success be reaped by Joshua. The key to military success and prosperity for the nation had nothing to do with man's might and power and cunning and intelligence. The key to victory was God's word buried deep within Joshua's very being. How did it get there? By meditating on it day and night, continuously, fervently. I want to speak today on the key to successful Christian living, the living part, the doing, the Christian doing. This key has faded from view in the church and has not been taught or even mentioned a whole lot lately. What's the key to becoming doers of the word and not just hearers? Meditation on the word of God. Joshua was already a hearer of the word of God. He was Moses' assistant. All through the Exodus, he heard the word of God. He knew the word of God. He had it memorized, no doubt. He believed the word of God. If this was all he needed to perform this huge physical task of victoriously entering and settling the promised land, he would not need the added instruction from God given in Joshua 1:8. Hearing, knowing, and memorizing God's word was the absolute essential first requirement for his success. This is the building block, the foundation for success, and for us also. We must be in the word, knowing it, memorizing it, believing it. We must. But Joshua and us need to go farther still. The key to success, to victory, to prosperity in the Lord is meditation on the word. Meditation on that which Joshua already had heard, knew, memorized, and believed. This is our key as well. The key to being doers of the word. In this verse it says, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in the word of God. Not only to know the Bible and even to believe the Bible, but to do the Bible. To live the Bible. I want us all to have what was promised to Joshua, and I believe it is promised to us, to be prosperous and successful in the task that God has given to each of us. Joshua was given a daunting task. We are given a daunting task to join the co-mission alongside the Holy Spirit to make disciples of all peoples by sharing the gospel and making those disciples mature in Christ by teaching them all that Christ has commanded us, and to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the lost, hurting, and needy. So now God and Joshua has given us the key to doing God's assignments and getting past the obstacle of merely being hearers. The key is meditation on the Word of God. But just what is and how do we do this meditation on the Word of God? Well, before examining meditation itself, allow me to dwell just a bit on this truth. Even knowing the word well, and even having much of it memorized, is not enough to get us past the obstacle of contented inaction. I submit there is a difference between being in the word and the word being in us. Again, let me stress, being in the word is vital, crucial, necessary in the Christian life. Please hear me plainly on that point. Being in the Word is foundational. But knowing the Word is not enough to get us over that obstacle of inaction. This nation have tons of folks that know and love the Word of God who have never shared their faith or given away any of their possessions in the name of Christ. Let me briefly illustrate this point using Jesus' apostles. And I'm not bashing the apostles here. We're all in the apostles' shoes for the sake of this illustration. Well, the apostles spent 3 years with Jesus as he lived out his earthly ministry years. Now, who is Jesus? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. The apostles saw his miracles. The apostles heard his teachings. They knew the Word of God. They knew, heard, memorized, and believed God's Word, Jesus. But then Jesus is arrested, tried and crucified. He dies and is buried. after his arrest, were the apostles out on the street proclaiming the kingdom of God? Were they performing miracles? Were they birthing the New Testament church? No, during those days, they were inactive. They were hiding, silent, for fear of the Jews. But why? They knew the word of God. Yet there was no godly action from these guys, no matter what they did know. When did the apostles get over the obstacle of fear, uncertainty, and inactivity? It was when Jesus met them behind locked doors for the second time after his resurrection. This is what happens. Luke 24, 41, and 45 states, "And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." And here we will do some Greek analysis. The Greek word for opened here is dianoigo, which means open up completely, fully. We get the sense here that there is a limitation within us that we have no access to until God opens us up for him alone. Then the word minds here, he opened their minds, is the Greek word noun, which means the reasoning faculty, which is more than a fact-gathering organ, but our faculty to reason on God's terms. It's where faith goes beyond facts. Then here's the kicker, the word understand. He opened their minds to understand. Here in Greek is suniemi, which means to put together, to join into a comprehensive whole, to combine facts or knowledge into a certainty. Jesus fully opened the apostles' faculties to turn the knowledge of himself into certainty within their lives. When did the apostles go from inaction to action? After the apostles were moved by Jesus from being in the Word to the Word being in them. After the scriptures moved from knowledge to certainty within them. After Jesus did this for them, they left their hiding place. And soon after, the Holy Spirit came in power upon them, and the church is born. Before, when they only knew the Word, they were in hiding. After, when the Word was in them, they were obeying, they were doing. The difference? Jesus turned the knowledge alone of the Word into certainty. And that certainty produced action. And a book was later written called The Acts of the Apostles. Not the knowledge or beliefs of the apostles, but the acts of the apostles. My point with this illustration is simply this. Even for the apostles who lived with Jesus 3 years, head knowledge alone was not enough to overcome their human fears and frailties. Only after Jesus and the Holy Spirit indwelt them with power and certainty did they act. God, through the apostles, began changing the world. Remember, we're just like the apostles in this illustration. We know the Bible, the Word of God, but our knowledge alone is not enough to turn us into action figures. We must awaken from our slumber and go and do as God directs. Just like the apostles, the people of God need to move from head knowledge alone to certainty, and from certainty to action. And we get from knowledge to certainty by meditation on the Word of God with the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you know what I mean when I say we act upon certainty. When we were little, we were told, don't climb on the dresser. You could fall off. Don't touch the stove or you could get burned. Don't stick a fork in the outlet or you could get electrocuted. Don't pick up a toad, you could get warts. We are given knowledge. Our parents give us knowledge. But did the knowledge alone convince us? Didn't me. We were not certain of the truth until we went past head knowledge and experienced it for ourselves. But when we accidentally burned ourselves or tripped and fell, then we became certain that hot things do burn and gravity does work. And we take action to avoid harming ourselves or others from harming themselves. We really believe it then because we're certain of it. Certainty produces action, and certainty in the Word of God produces action in the child of God. It's my conviction that we are a nation that has believing believers, but we are not a nation of absolutely certain believers. And so, we are a nation of hearers only and not doers of the word. So how to become absolutely certain of the word of God and so to become action figures for Christ? Again, it's through meditation on the word. So let's step through this meditation. Yes, first, the foundation is to get into the word of God. Feed upon the word of God. Gain all the knowledge contained therein. This is crucial. God's word is our very sustenance. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he, Jesus, answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Yes, fill your mind with the word of God and absolutely pray for the unwavering faith to believe all that you read in his word. Learn all you can from his word, but then go even further. Meditate upon his word. Reading and learning builds our head knowledge of the word of God, but meditation puts that knowledge into action. Meditation turns the knowing into going. Meditation moves the facts into acts. Paul talks of meditation in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." In the Greek, this verse means we are to properly and rightly divide, cut, dissect the word of God. And we understand this to mean deep dive studying. The Christian ease word is hermeneutics. But it is even more than this. See the word worker. This speaks of the often neglected or unknown step of rightly handling the word of truth. The hard working part, a laboring, grinding, wrestling, grunting and groaning and huffing and puffing over the word of truth with our teacher, the Holy Spirit, the step of meditation. Too often with the word of God, we read it, then know it, memorize it and believe it, and then we stop before we have rightly handled the word of truth. We must go further through meditation when the Holy Spirit makes the word become certainty in us. And that certainty is what compels us to action. Reading is relatively easy. Learning and memorization is harder. But meditation is work, labor. I'm talking about strenuous wrestling over the Word of God at the feet of our teacher, the Holy Spirit, until the words become certainty and then action. Just as the Holy Spirit endowed certainty, boldness, power, and confidence in the apostles, we now, today, through meditation on the Word, are endowed by the same Holy Spirit with certainty, boldness, power, and confidence to go forth and to write our own book, The Acts of the Believers in Vail, Arizona. When we wrestle and meditate on God's Word as led by the Spirit, our certainty in the truth of God's Word will manifest in life lived large in Christ, to shine the spotlight on Jesus and glorify our Father in heaven. We are not called to believe in Jesus and then lay down in our hammock and dream of heaven. We are called to live Jesus and to be involved in the work of seeing the will of God done on earth as it is in heaven. Meditation is way more than just reading and memorizing. And I'm not talking about Eastern religion meditation mumbo-jumbo. That kind of meditation looks inward. We're not talking about looking inward, shudder the thought. We're talking here about looking upward, up into God's Word, up into the depths of God's Word. Meditation is work. In my focal passage, Joshua 1:8, the word translated meditate is the Hebrew word daga, and its definition is to moan, groan, growl, utter, or muse. This is wrestling with God like Jacob until you get the blessing of the understanding of that verse. Don't just read a verse and happily move on, but muse, wrestle, moan over that verse until you move from knowing to certainty. This same word, meditate, when the Hebrew was translated into Koine Greek in what we know as the Septuagint, is the Greek word melataho, and it's defined as to care for, to attend to carefully, to revolve, to take pains in. This is not mere reading or ingesting. This is much more and goes much deeper. Meditation is the hard work, the real labor, which attains the goal of certainty in the Word of God. God provides a picture of meditation in nature. Recall the definition of the Hebrew and Greek words for meditate were muse, ponder, revolve. The idea is not just exposing oneself to the truth once, but re-exposing, reconsidering, working it over and over, this truth that was ingested. Here's a neat picture of meditation in nature, and I don't think it's by accident. A ruminant is an even-toed ungulate animal that chews the cud. Animals like cattle, sheep, goats, deer, and antelopes. These animals all have a rumen, a foregut that stores the hastily eaten food. So the ruminant animal grabs and swallows the food, and it goes into the rumen. And when the rumen is nice and packed full, the animal goes and lays down somewhere and brings up the food from the rumen and re-chews the food called the cud. This animal may re-chew the cud 3, 4, 5 times before sending it on its way down the digestive system. This is how we should meditate on the Word of God. And I truly think this is an example right from God. Remember the list of ruminants? What do we understand about sheep, goats, and cattle? They were God's select animals, sacrifices, in the Old Testament. These were called clean, and God's very own choice to be a type or a picture of the perfect sacrifice which was to come. What set these apart? What was unique about them? Was there a more subtle significance to ruminants in the eyes of God that we do not typically recognize? Because they picture for us meditation? Well, perhaps. One day we will know. But in the meantime, we need to feed on the Word of God in this manner. Yes, feed on the Word. Gobble it up. Fill up your rumen. Fill up on the Word. But then meditate, ruminate upon it. Retire to your closet and bring the passage up again and again. Chew on it. Revolve it in your mind. Turn it over and over. Don't let go until you get the blessing of the true meaning of the passage. Have the Holy Spirit cause that passage that you are wrestling with go from knowledge to certainty, and thus from certainty to action. Folks, we must get into the Word, but the Word must get into us, into our hands, into our feet, into our backs, into our actions. We have got to become action figures for Jesus. This need for the Word to get into us is seen in Psalm 119:11. I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is not just speaking about memorization, but saturization. Getting the Word into you completely, fully. And when this is the case, when the Word of God is in you so fully that it goes from knowledge and believing to being certain about it, then action follows. The action of not sinning against God. When filled with His Word, you can hit your thumb with a hammer and out will come a response that is godlike. Oh, you'll have a response, but what comes out of your heart will be God-filled. Or perhaps a sudden need arises and your immediate response is also godlike, loving, and full of mercy. Or perhaps a very crafty and seemingly right-sounding lie comes across your path. And your word-saturated life will discern the falsehood, and you will not sin against God. That's the action, not sinning. This is what meditation on the Word of God does in us. It takes the feeding upon the Word to knowing, then to believing, then to certainty, which leads to the action of not sinning against God. Meditation on God's Word makes it real in your life, moment by moment. I've taken most of my time already. I want to give a couple examples of meditating on the Word of God. How about like our commission to go and tell? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Well, look, we just got into the Word. Was that enough? Was it enough to just get into the Word? Are you doing it? Is the church as a whole doing this? Some of you are, but others of you are afraid to go and tell the good news to all you meet. We know these words. We know the Word of God. We believe them. But some of us are not doing these words. The solution is to meditate on this passage. Go get alone with God and bring it up over and over. Moan and grind over this. Take the word go and have great pains in this word, turning it over and over, wrestling with it, until the Holy Spirit makes that word a certainty. And so that certainty of go is no longer a word, but a necessity. I must go. Wrestle until you get that. I must go. I must go. Until. Because it is so revolving in your mind like a tune you cannot get out of your head. Perhaps you're afraid to go tell others about Christ. Well, take the words, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Take those words and turn them over and over with the Holy Spirit to make these words a certainty to you. Wrestle with them. Groan over them until the Spirit makes it real. Jesus is with me when I go and tell. It's a certainty. How can we not go and tell when we are going as a team, Jesus and me, to share the gospel? Wrestle until you get the blessing of no more fear, but delight that you get to go hand in hand with Jesus to tell the world of the hope that is found only in Jesus. In a quick commercial, if having gospel tracts will help you go and tell, I've stocked a bunch of packets back there of gospel tracts. Take and use as many as you will use. But go. Make it a certainty in you. You must go and tell the good news. Well, how about one more example? Do you doubt your salvation? John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." If you're troubling with your salvation assurance, meditate on the truly, truly. It is true. A different translation says, most assuredly. Wrestle over and over on the word truly until this becomes a certainty to you. There is no doubting when you are certain that the words truly, truly are truly true. And then meditate on the has eternal life. God does not lie. Believe him with all confidence. Wrestle until this becomes a certainty to you. Has eternal life is the certain condition of all who truly believe. Are you getting the idea of meditating upon the word? Whatever that passage is that you need the answer to, or the assurance of, or action seen, meditate, ruminate, wrestle over it until the Holy Spirit turns it from just knowledge to certainty, and then to action. Beloved, the world out there and the church in here needs all of us to become action figures for Christ. The will of God needs to be done, lived out for all to see. Meditation on his word will get us over the hump of selfish, self-righteous passivity. Unbeliever, to you, I want to say, you know who you are. No more putting it off. You need Jesus. Eternity lies in wait for you. It is appointed unto mankind once to die, and after this is judgment. This lifetime is your only chance. What is the judgment? If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, you are judged worthy of heaven with him forever. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, you are judged unworthy of heaven and condemned to hell apart from him forevermore. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Now, today, make your life right with God Almighty forevermore by believing in Jesus. We can help you figure out what all this means. Come and talk with one of us. Please. Nothing is more important than this. Church family, it's time to stop just believing for our salvation and being content with nothing further. It's time to go out in partnership with God the Holy Spirit and change the world as God's action figure through meditation on his word. Wrestle over and over and over with the word. Go past mere knowledge, where the Holy Spirit takes belief and moves it to certainty and then to action. Christ wants to change the world. He's waiting for workers to go out into the fields which are white unto harvest. Are you in? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, empower us to meditate on your word and not let go until we attain the blessing of being holy and completely changed from the inside out, from being hearers and even believers into doers, going forth in your name to wherever and to whomever you send us. Lord, as we faithfully get into your word, please have your word get into us. Father, make us doers of your will here on earth as it is in heaven, for your glory alone and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.